Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. G'day, Snappers, and welcome to the SC Ballers Tuesday podcast. My name's Jono, coach of the Haasbeens, and I'm stepping in for Matt. He's out celebrating a family birthday tonight, so filling in for Matt. And with me to talk about all the big news coming out of Teamless Tuesday, heading into round 13, is the co-host of the Sunday Snap. It's Tubes. How are you, mate?
Oh, how are you going? I'm fired up. They've finally brought in the big leagues, the big wigs for the Tuesday pod. We're taking Sunday over.
Snap. Yeah, it's a Sunday Snap takeover. How good.
Yeah. It's funny. We had a bit of a late pullout from C-Mac 86ers, and he's got some kids down with gastro, and Matt has a family event, as you said. I'm putting it down to red arrow-itis for both of them. They've been climbing the ranks, looking good all year. They finally have a little bit of a down week compared to normal, and both had to pull out of the pod. But we're here. We know what it's like. Fired up, ready to go.
Yeah, they lack a little bit of resilience, the boys, don't they? Jeeves, you are fired up. What's going on? What's in the water? You're over in Perth. What's happening?
I think I'm mostly fired up. Look at this shirt. Baller branded maroon shirt. As you said, might be a little bit on the tight side. Still just getting the sizing going. I like it. I like it a bit tighter around the guns. But yeah, I don't know. It's just 2 hours earlier in Perth. I'm probably just not as sleepy.
That shirt would have been the perfect fit for you 6 years ago, Tubes. You can take that. You can take that to mean whatever you want. But 6 years ago, perfect size shirt for you.
I think it's perfect now.
All right, Jules, before we get into all the big news this week, do you want to give us a bit of an update on the cash league? How's it going? Not the cash league.
Yeah, so
what do we call it? The unlimited league.
Yeah, the SC Ballers 5K unlimited league. So there's 5K in prizes up for grabs, paying all the way down to fifth. As I mentioned before, a bit of red arrows for Matt. Went down two spots, so he's just dropped outside the top five. So he won't be picking up any cash at this rate. But shout out to Jake from the Special Ks. He's dropped three spots. He's still 11th overall after a 9.59 on the weekend. And then we've got two coaches out there that are coming equal 13th on 15,871 points, exactly the same. And that is Anthony, coach of the Feb Dogs, and Romain, coach of the Main Event. So, yeah, we're certainly up there. I think the fourth is the Squirtle Squad, still hanging around, 15th overall. So, yeah, there's plenty happening in the ball league.
Yeah, a bit to do. And Chiefs, don't forget, he's called it Romain the Main Event. We call it the Romain Event because he missed out on that pun. And also shout out to Aaron, coach of the Smashed Haas, who had the biggest score of the week with an 11.64 from 13 players. Phenomenal work, Aaron. And I also appreciate that pun. As someone who's gone with a Payne Haas-related pun themselves for their team, shout out to Aaron for that one. Tubes, as always, a few plugs for baller.live, the fastest Supercoach updating website that you can get to out there. And also, socials going wild. Producer Gramsy, who's producing the pod tonight, he's getting stuff up all over TikTok, Facebook, Insta. This one's on YouTube Live if you want to join in on Tuesday night. So it's all happening for Baller. Also got to mention that the Thursday show, they usually do a Q&A show, and there will still be some questions, but I know that Matt is planning on doing a bumper edition with a bit of the fallout from State of Origin and how that might impact Supercoach as well. So that is an absolute must listen this week. So you can still get your questions in over any form of socials that you want, and the boys will go through and find them. But it's going to be a huge episode because, Tubes, I think a lot tonight we're going to be saying, depending on how they back up from Origin or depending on what happens in Origin. So by Thursday, those guys will have all that information. So expect I'd say, slightly shorter pod tonight, maybe a bit of a Fletcher short and sharp pod considering by normal Tuesday standards. And then they'll be getting very, very deep in the analysis come Thursday. Tubes, do you want to introduce us to the Baller Blueprint topic this week?
Yeah, so as you said, very Origin-themed week. with the New South Wales 13 plus Blues coming up against the Queensland Maroons. I've been out scouting the Perth grounds, just sort of checking out what it's going to look like.
Geez, you timed that work trip poorly, didn't you, Tubes?
Yeah, a little bit early. Mm. But we're going to be covering off talking about all the Origin players and named backup. And I think part of what we want to go through is I didn't realize this till you brought it up, that this year, and it might have been previous years, but certainly this year, they've actually allowed, the NRL have allowed for the teams to name bigger extended squads this week. So what's ended up happening is that all Origin players have actually been named to start, which is a little bit different. I think in previous years, Todd Payton, known for it as a Cowboys, always names them out of the starting squad, always named them on the bench or in the extended squad. Whereas this year, it looks like all Origin players have been named to back up. So it just means you've got to be a bit more vigilant on your team lists. So yeah, that's, I think, what are your thoughts on that, Jono?
Yeah, Chief, I'll just clarify the exact NRL rule that they posted with their team list today. So if a team has three players named to back up from Origin, they get one additional player allowed in their squad for the week. And if they've named four or more, they've got two additional players listed in their reserves this week. So yeah, it just means that there could be huge carnage, Tubes. If there's any of the guys who have niggles, it is going to be easier for teams to name their Origin players this year. Some teams in the past just have blatantly just not named them, which is great as Supercoach players because you know what to expect. But this year, they're all going to be named with these bigger extended squads. So it's very much just a case of, yeah, keep your eye on those team lists. Don't just set your team on Friday and forget about it for the weekend. You've got to be very vigilant and flexible with what you do. And Chips, also really important this week more than most, making sure that your players who play earlier in the round, that you're picking them, not off the bench, you're picking them in your starting lineup. Because if you have players dropping out late in the round, you don't want to get stuck. And I know that happened to C-Mac, who's obviously a gun super coach. He's achieved a lot more in Supercoach Tubes than you or I ever have over the last couple of years. Even he fell to that a few weeks ago. He accidentally, the week that Jaden Campbell got hurt and pulled out late, C-Mac had him as his starting 5'8", and his 5'8" on the reserves had already played, so he couldn't swap it over and make a change. So just being really vigilant about your players who play earlier in the round, make sure they're in your starting squad. Chiefs, do you think that there might be a bit of a chance for the VC loop to be a factor this week as well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if a few Origin players don't back up, then it's more likely that people will be sitting on the cusp of 17, 18 players. And so if you only end up with 18 startable players this week, similar to the round 12 bye, it basically means that you get a free shot at the VC loop. So if you only have 18 players, then... and your VC scores, I think anything over 90 plus, then you would then look at bringing in a non-playing reserve, either one on the buys or an Origin player that isn't backing up, and you put the captain on them, and then you'll get the loop score, and it won't actually cost you anything because there's no AE really to come in. The AE that comes in is just the player that you dropped out of your team for that.
Perfect. All right, well, Tube, let's start to move across now to our positional analysis. Just a reminder for the listeners that the bye teams this week are the Sharks, the Dolphins and the Dogs, so just be mindful of that when you're making your trades as well. Tubes, I should have run this by your pre-pod. I'm actually going to mix up the format a little bit on what Matt usually does with the Tuesday show. Sorry to dump this on you, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question and then I'm not going to answer it myself for 3 minutes before you get a chance. I'm actually going to ask the question and let you answer it straight away, just to change up the format for the Tuesday show, if that's okay.
Ooh, that's a burn.
Early shot, burn. You like it?
Yeah. it's good. It'll give me. It won't give me much time to think about my answer, though, if you keep these questions short and sharp.
Well, I'm feeling pretty sharp about this one. Tommy Turbo, the news came out today out of Manly that he has been ruled out this week with a quad cork. Apparently they are... being safe, playing it safe with him this time around. Tubes, you traded him in this week. How's that news gone down for you?
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing, obviously. Mainly, the one thing, I was happy that he matched Teddy last week at obviously, 350K cheaper than Teddy was. So it would have stung more if Teddy went out and got 100 plus and then Turbo was out this week.
True.
But it just feels like they're not telling us the whole truth. Like, I mean, I thought he looked better on the weekend. And so if it is a cork, just re-aggravating it, and why choosing now as the time to decide to rest him? It just doesn't make sense. But the silver lining is us Lehigh Hopewadi owners are rejoicing right now. Coming off the back of a ton, and we'll be starting fullback for the Manly Seagulls this week.
As a non-Lehigh owner, Chiefs, I have found a couple of different silver linings, but I went looking for them. Number one is that Teddy has the bye next week, so like that made me feel a little bit better about the whole thing, because next week Tommy hopefully will be back and Teddy will be out and he might be able to get a huge score on him. And it also, I think, effectively rules him out of State of Origin, because even if New South Wales were to go down, how can you pick someone who's a week-to-week proposition like this? I just don't think that New South Wales coaching staff and selectors would be able to feel confident in picking him. So that's the two silver linings I've been able to find. It does make me much more confident, if fit, that he plays round 15. But again, as I said that out loud, there was a big if at the front of it, because it's always an if when it comes to Tommy. I seriously feel sorry for him. Like, it's got to be so frustrating. Like, we're mildly frustrated Supercoach owners. Imagine being the bloke, like, constantly being hurt and having that much talent. Tough run.
Yeah. Just constantly being hurt. Must suck.
Speaking of Teddy Tubes, we certainly wouldn't be encouraging anyone to bring him in this week. Like we mentioned, on the bye next week, massive break even over 150 as well. So I think all the non-owners out there are just hoping he can have a bit of a quiet week, and then potentially for round 15, people can bring him in significantly cheaper if they want to.
It's an interesting one. I think, and we didn't have him on the run sheet, so I'm just throwing him out there. Is Clint Gutherson coming back into contention? He had a bit of a run earlier in the year, and they've just come off the bye, the Dragons, so they have quite a nice little bye schedule coming up. And they play the Knights on Thursday night, or Friday night, sorry. And I just feel like it could be Gutho's time to shine again.
No, not having it. I'm sick of you. You love bringing up Gutho all the time. You're obsessed with him.
Well, they've just got a nice run. They play 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19. So they only miss round 16. They've got the Knights into the Dolphins, into the Sharks, into the Eels, into the Raiders. I just think it's a nice little bye period. Gutho run to take on, you know, to take on the likes of Teddy or Turbo.
Okay, but choose most people in a position where they already own Pappy, Drinky, and one of Tommy or Teddy. So are you suggesting that people trade out one of those guys to Gutho, or where do you think people fit it? Or is it for those Iongi owners, they upgrade him to Gutho?
Yeah, I think for those that were looking for trading an Iongi or trading someone, if you were thinking about trading in Turbo this week, I think it's Teddy is not a bring in this week, as we talked about. Just could be Gutho's time to shine. He will kick goals if Val doesn't back up, and so he will kick goals during those Origin bye weeks as well, with a bit of upside. I think in those Origin weeks, without Val playing, I just think that they've had the week off. He's well rested. Flano's got to have sat back and looked at the game plan and said, "We just got to get back to getting Gutho more ball." So yeah, I don't know, just a bit of a pot option.
It, honestly, I'll slightly walk back what I said. He does seem to become relevant every year during the bye period, Gutho. Like he likes to get the team on his back a little bit, Gutho, when it comes to this period. So look, I definitely wouldn't be trading out one of the guns. I wouldn't be trading out Tommy, Teddy, Pappy or Drinky to him. But if I was an Iongi owner, I would be very tempted to jump to there if an opportunity presented itself. Let's get on to centre wing tubes. And starting with Zach Lomax, who in his return game for Parramatta looked absolutely immense. Definitely went out there with a point to prove that he was fit and ready to go for Origin, and he's been selected off the back of that. What do you think of him at 728K?
Geez, he's expensive. You said at the start, want to see how he gets through Origin. Looked very, very good. Was clearly playing for an Origin spot as well. I think it was probably, I think a lot of people seemed to go on him that week. Some people went on him knowing he's playing for an Origin slot. I think you've now got to hold off. You're probably going to hold off until the end of the Origin period. You hope that he might lose a little bit of cash. I just don't think that he's going to get enough games to be worth buying a 728K player at this point in time.
Yeah, I think he's been immensely impressive this year when he's been playing. Like, he's been really trying to prove himself at Parramatta and, like, not have that kind of... I know it's not second-year syndrome because he's been around for a long time, but trying to prove that season wasn't an absolute fluke. Tom Jenkins, Tubes, he was previously your man. He is available 528K. His break-even's right up there now, 83. He has been actually named on the wing this week in the place of Paul Alamotti. Shout out poor Danny Boy, who brought in Paul Alamotti last week as his big pod for a 37, and now the bloke's been dropped from the team. What do you think? What would you do with Tommy Jenkins? I think a lot of people had in their plans to sell him.
I think he's just a hold, isn't he? They're playing the Eels. You're probably going to play him, especially if Lomax is out. I know the Eels have been looking good the last couple of weeks defensively, but I still think that I'd want to be playing a winger against them for the Panthers. If Cleary's playing, Blaze, a bit more going on down that left-hand edge, I'd be holding and I'd be playing Tommy Jenkins this week.
Oh, great play, isn't he? That's a good point, Tubes. Like, he genuinely, with all these guys coming back from Origin, he's one who plays early that you just get in your team and you feel pretty confident about. His base has been a little bit better of late too.
Yeah. I mean, the break-even of 83 doesn't scare me if I was an owner. So I think you're holding on for at least one more week and seeing how it plays out.
Fletcher Sharp, who absolutely dominated last week, had 34 points in tackle busts, one of the great super coach performances, and just electric in real rugby league as well. He is actually being brought in by over 8% of the top 10% are bringing him in this week, Tubes. What do you make of people buying Fletcher Sharp?
I think they've just looked at his amazing sort of buy schedule that's coming up, as you've sort of said. I think you mentioned it on the snap, sorry. I think they play all the major buy rounds coming up. He's shown that he's got that upside when Pong is out of the team and he's playing fullback. I think it's pretty clear that you need him in your side over that buy period. And given his break even, I think he's going to be only likely going up. There's also the chance that Ponga, given that they're the Friday night game, that Ponga will not back up from Origin, and he'll be named at fullback, in which case he's going to be a must-have, must-bring-in.
What's your gut tell you if you had to say yes or no to Ponga backing up? What do you reckon?
I'd say no, only because of how well they seemed to still go last week without him. And I know they were playing a Panthers reserve grade style team, but they're playing the Dragons this week. I think with Fletcher at fullback and playing those two halves, I think they can get by without Ponga for the week. And, you know, with his injury history and concussion history, I wouldn't be backing him up after two days for back down from Queensland.
Yeah, well said. Chief, the floor is yours, Lehi Hopewade. That's my only intro. You take it.
Yeah, good. Like I said, it's a silver lining of him going back to fullback. He had a very good week, probably helped by Pennacini going down injured. It was a little bit of a frustrating watch, to be honest. For some reason, Luke Brooks forgot that, you know, every time they went out the back and then went to turbo and then spread it wide, they seemed to be scoring, and then he just started hitting Corey Waddell with the short ball, you know, hard running back rower Corey Waddell. So that was the frustrating part of it. But I think it's his base is fantastic at fullback. He's looked as fit and strong as I've probably ever seen him in the NRL. Like, he's got this little goose step going. Like he's almost hits the line and just like does a little goose step and somehow turns his speed from, you know, 50 to 100 kilometers per hour as he hits the line. So very excited to see Lehi play fullback. It is the reason I bought him in, thinking Turbo would not play as much over this Origin period. And yeah, I think I'd probably be buying him, or looking to buy him as a, even if I was a non-owner as well. Sharp before him, but I think he's an option as well.
And Dylan Lucas before him as well, Tubes?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, you probably can't, can be, you can't think you're staying in the top 10% really without Dylan Lucas in your team, can you? Like, you've just got to get him in lock and load. Even this week, last week I moved him down to the center wing, and this week I'm moving him straight back up to the second row forward. That flexibility is just, is so good for your team balance as well.
It's so funny when you own a Supercoach player, how much it changes your reads on the game. Like, you, Matt was on the Sunday Snap filthy at Luke Brooks. You've mentioned Luke Brooks again on this podcast. And it's just so good because I watched the game, was like, ah, Luke Brooks is having a bit of a disappointing game. Whereas you guys as Lehigh Hopewadi owners are just watching every single move and every single set play going left and critiquing everything. It just completely changes the way you watch the footy, doesn't it, Supercoach?
It sure does. But I mean, if I was a Manly fan, I would be frustrated at that game. When it was 10-all, it felt like they were dominating and they just had to keep hitting them down the left. And for some reason, it just didn't happen. I can't explain it.
Yeah. Jordan Samrani, he was one. I'm going to use this joke for the third time. When I said that people should Sam Rani away from him, I'll keep burying that joke until it's not funny anymore. It probably was, never was, but I'm going to keep running with it. I still think people should Sam Rani away from him, mainly because Will Penasini is back next week. He's been named because Penasini is concussed, had a bad concussion on the weekend, ruled out very, very early on in the game. So he is holding a spot in the team. I just think it's a big trap. He's got a negative break even of 9. Just be mindful when you're looking at Sam Rani that, number one, the Eels' bye coverage isn't that good from here on in out. They missed the two next major bye rounds, and he's likely to go back to a 20 to 30 minute role off the bench. So don't fall for the break even. Don't fall for the starting position. Tubes, Connor Tracy, your man, from 4 weeks ago you brought him in. He went 100-100. Since then, he's gone sub 30 2 weeks in a row. Break even's massive, 142. Risk maybe of Matty Burton going to fullback with Lachlan Galvin reportedly joining the club. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I don't think that there's no way Burton goes to fullback. Like, that's just not going to happen. So. I don't know. Socials seem to be going a little bit wild with that one. We'll see what happens, but I'd be shocked if it's not Galvin, Burton 7, Galvin 6, or vice versa. Sexton either out of the team or to the bench. But either way, I think that Connor Tracy, whilst it is going to be a sell, whilst not the most urgent sell this week, given they're on the buy, if you need to make a trade and you own him, I think you could look to move him on this week. That break even, it just fully negates the value of holding him over that buy period. Obviously, he's shown that he can go 100 plus. He's, but he obviously has such a low floor, which I think owners knew bringing him in. I certainly knew. He's just been unlucky. That game on Thursday night, that just, like, it was just downpouring. He's not a base man. Like, it's just unfortunate. And I think whilst you can hope for him to have those upside games, I'm going to be shipping him on before he starts leaking cash while I'm just hoping he comes good.
It's pretty funny, Tubes, because I'm a non-owner and I'm looking at him, 580K with a break-even 142. Like, if he comes out and gets a 40-odd this week, he will be available for under 500K and I'll be looking at him as a pickup in round 14. Like, that, if you can pick him up for under 500K, that's incredible value. Is there that little part of you just thinking buyer coverage is so good? He's now got, like, basically over a year of games. There is two worst scores since he's been playing fullback over the last 2 years. Is there a chance it's just a two bad game run, the Dogs bounce back, and that you're wasting trades for a guy who could be good value soon?
Look, I mean, possibly. It's just, it's sort of, he's taking up what is, I think there's plenty of centre wingers that have good buy coverage. And so obviously this week, Iro's out, Herbie's out. They both have pretty good buy coverage. I mentioned before that I've got Lehigh Hopewadi already, who also has good buy coverage. We've talked about Fletcher Sharp. We've talked about Dylan Lucas. And that's without sort of going through some of the others. And I just think that it's not even just about the fact he's leaking cash. He's taking up a spot in my team. And I just think that I'm happy to let him go.
Fair enough. Well, just our last few to talk about, probably less in depth. Billy Smith is being sold by a few this week. I think it's personally a little bit of a silly sell. I think he's going to have another big game again soon and he'll start to make his cash. And he's also, the last 2 weeks without any attacking stats, got scores in the 40s. So I think that's completely fine. Christian Chiupalotu is returning for the Dragons this week. One of my least favourite players in the NRL, just because it hurt my feelings a little bit when he was doing try celebrations against Souths. That's how petty I am. And the last one, Kyle McCarthy, who I gave a big shout-out to on the Sunday snap. He is coming in available at 246K, negative break-even. But as producer Gramsy correctly told me before the show, that initial Bradman Best injury, which was speculated being up to 2 months, the Knights expect him to return the next week or two. And same thing for Greg Marju. Anything, Tubes, on those three you want to talk about?
No, I think you summed it up. Don't get sucked in by the break-even. With all those Knights players on the way back, I don't think you're going to get the value from it.
All right, well, let's jump down to the halves then. 5'8" and halfback lumped in together.
Hey, Jono, I'm surprised you didn't notice my sneaky merch switch around. I've changed shirts mid-pod. Like, I was feeling a bit self-conscious after your little tight shirt remark, but I thought I'd spruik the black baller tee as well on since we're going live.
A more relaxed fit, may I say, it suits you beautifully. Well done. I like it. I did wonder. I thought you had some I started rambling a bit when your camera went off before. I know that doesn't help our audio listeners, but I was just like, do I just need to fill some time here? What's going on? But when you did come back on with the camera, your hair was all askew. So I thought maybe you just had like a moment. I didn't know what happened. But shirt looks good, Tubes. Hair looks good too.
All right. Cheers, mate. Let's move on to 5'8" and halfback.
Let's do it. Tubes. One that you are bringing in this week, I love it. He's a bit of a super pod, but I think a clever super pod. It's not a pod for pod's sake. It's a pod that is coming into a position of need. Ezra Mann, talk to us about Ezra.
Yeah, so I thought I'd be super pod on it, but then I've looked and actually a few people are looking at bringing in Ezra this week. It's possibly a week early. I'll put that out there. He's only played one game and he had 128 on his first week back. I'm calling this the Ezra Mann revival tour trade. And what I think we said it on the snap a few weeks ago. Can't condone all the things that happened with Ezra in the off season and just the rabbiting about. But now he is back in the NRL. What you do see, whether it's forced or not, when people make the types of mistakes that he's made, there's usually a period where they look to get their life back on track. That can be going off the drink. That can be, you know, doing all the right things. And I just think Ezra is such a special athlete. If he's been doing all the right things, buying into the Madge hard work ethic, that game we saw against the Dragons will not be an anomaly. And so I just think he's got such high upside. He started with a bang and he's got huge volatility. So this is a bit of a swing for the fence. But I do think that we will see more ups than downs. And so I'm looking at Ezra as a bring-in option this week against Manly and then playing the Titans next week for that sort of third play.
Yeah, I reckon it's a phenomenal play. He's at that price, like we've seen what Ezra can produce. And Tubes, I love a bit of narrative in my super coach. And the things you said there, like it is narrative, but I think narrative can matter sometimes. I think narrative can mean something. We've seen it for guys like Cam Munster in the past when he went off the drink. He had a few issues, went off the drink. He ended up coming back for one of his best ever NRL seasons and super coach seasons from a statistical standpoint. And I don't see why that couldn't happen to Ezra either. Their bye coverage is great. They do miss round 15, but I think people are probably fairly well covered 15. If they look at their squads, they probably either have 13 or are close to already. Key ones, he plays 16 and 19, those two mini bye rounds, which are really tough. So I know what you're saying, Chiz, it could be a week early, but keeping in mind that if you bring him in next week, he's there for 40 and then misses 15 anyway. I don't mind you taking a plunge. I really like it as a pod play.
And even producer Gramsci's just put in to add to the narrative, like there is a bit going on at the Broncos about whether players are buying in or not. And I think Ezra does have, he's got something to prove. The other man that has something to prove at the Broncos, and he's had a chip on his shoulder all season, is young GI. And I'm still holding him. So this feels like a double down bet as well. I've got Ezra on the left, passing to young GI. They're just tonning up for the next few weeks, and I'm going to be up and about.
I've completely forgot. Like, we had a week off of young GI last week. I completely forgot what a big figure he is in my Supercoach life.
That's Kermat Shibasaki for non-regular listeners, for those joining. Apologies.
We spoke about Cam Munster there. I just wanted to quickly say, like, he was one I was planning on selling, actually, Cam Munster, over this buy period. But I can't now because he's got a break even of minus 11. He's going to be super expensive, maybe too hard to bring back in at the end of the buy period. I've heard a lot of chatter about, oh, they're playing the Titans this week. Great matchup. I think it would be borderline criminal to back Cam Munster up from Origin this week. Like, he's got a bit of an injury history. Storm are absolutely flying. They have nothing to prove to anyone this week. And speaking of proving themselves, they got nothing to prove. I think it'd be crazy to play him when they've got some really good replacements available in the squad. But that's just my opinion. From a Supercoach standpoint, I'll be happy if he plays because I'd love to run him instead of LKT. But Tubes, would you agree about Munster? Just got to be a hold now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is. If he doesn't play this week, you could consider it to someone like Ezra, like we just talked about. I think that the instinct, though, is to hold and see how he goes over, next week, etc. as well. But it is going to be the other one for the Storm that I find interesting is Jerome Hughes, as we talked about, very juicy matchup against the Titans this week. He is a man that if Munster's out of the team and if Harry doesn't back up, he'll just take control. Obviously, we'll be sweeping out the back to Pappy and all of those things, but I could see that being a huge game for Jerome Hughes and could be an option to either bring in the flex position or for those that might be looking at selling a Nathan Cleary or somewhere else in the halves as well.
I'm actually bringing him in this week, Tubes. I love the Jerome Hughes buy. I sold Cleary a couple of weeks ago with the plan to get Hughes in to cover me over this period because what we saw last year when Munster was out and even when Munster was back but not fully himself, Hughes just completely took control. And when he takes control, he's an outstanding Supercoach player. He's not far behind guys like Hines and Cleary when he's at his best, Jerome Hughes. So I'm bringing him in this week for those reasons. He said he's lost a lot of cash this year. I think 625K is really strong value for Jerome Hughes. So I'm bringing him back. I'm bringing him in this week, and I'm doing it via a flex. I had Hugo Savala in at halfback over the weekend, and I'm going to move him up to my 2RF. Speaking of Hugo Savala, Tubes, you mentioned to me pre-pod. I'm really surprised at how many of the top 10% are bringing him in. What do you make of it?
Like, I just think, and I'm encouraged listeners to do it again this week, they're following the hot hand, Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, in. Brought in Hugo Savala a few weeks ago. Is there a more, we didn't talk about it at the start, is there a more informed super coach than you going on around at the moment? You've gone from 19,000th to 1,001, just outside the top 1,000 in what, 4 weeks or something ridiculous?
Yeah, 5 weeks. It's been a good run.
And how long have you held Hugo Savala for?
Probably 5 weeks.
There you go. And so you're bringing in Jerome Humes this week. I'm assuming when people listen to this, that will get a big bump as well. But I do think for Hugo, it's a little bit too late to be looking to bring him in. He's made his cash. He's made 200K. He somehow just massive score last week, backing up, one of the biggest scores earlier. It's a nice little flex position that you've got, given you can move him from half to back row to accommodate your trades. But yeah, you definitely can't be buying him now.
No, absolutely not. It's a crazy buy. Tubes, you didn't even mention that Sammy Walker's back in 2 weeks. Like, he's going to play this week. Roosters had the bye 14. Sammy Walker's expected back in round 15. So there's absolutely no reason why you should be reading Hugo Savala And if anyone has, they should reverse trade right now. I'm really happy I got him when I did. He's made me a lot of cash. I'll be able to nuff him out and free up more cash at some point, but absolutely not. Our last two we had on the run sheet there for the halves tubes is LKT, the new King of Kogra, King Tongia for the Dragons. I mean, the only thing to note is his break-even's 28. That probably seems to be about what his average is going to be on the weeks where he doesn't get attacking stats. He's not a big base man. He was named at 5'8 this week. He'd been named at halfback for his first three games in the NRL. Watching the Dragons play in that period, he didn't play halfback. He was playing 5'8. They've just finally decided to order the jerseys the correct way. What do you think about LKT, particularly with Latu Fainu on the horizon from the Tigers? Could people maybe look to swap those two around soon?
I think so. I wouldn't be jumping straight to Fainu next week or anything like that. I think you're holding LKT for this week. For those Cleary sellers, you might be pushing him up and bringing in a 5'8". He offers a little bit of flexibility, but I imagine he will be a sell at some point over the next 2 weeks. If Fainu's there, he'll be an option for sure.
Yeah, I think you could feel comfortable selling LKT now if you're worried about playing, because there'll be people like, I know for me, Chiefs, my halves are Munster and LKT, and I'm a bit nervous about playing LKT this week. My original plan was to get Jaden Campbell, who we didn't mention, who would be a great option to bring in straight away. It's not going to work out now because I'm not going to be downgrading Payne Haas anymore, but I think it's fine just to sell him on whenever you're ready, would be what I'd say. Let's get on to second row forward, and the biggest talking point of Supercoach this week is Keon Kolomatangi for Souths. He's available at 612K. His break-even's 21, and he's being brought in by a massive 32% of the top 10% are bringing him in this week. I know Matt was really interested. He messaged during the day tubes. He wants someone to make a case against Keon Kolomatangi. I'm not the guy to do that. Are you?
Are you bringing him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think I am. The case against for me, and we talked about origin dependent, if New South Wales lose game one, I'm not, I think it seems like, I guess I'll put it this way, it seems like Terrell May is done, like probably won't ever play for New South Wales, or certainly won't be this series, whether that's based on personality, who knows what it's based on, but it seems like he's done. If New South Wales lose game one and they get beaten up in the middle, whether that's with Max King not performing or Mitch Barnett or whatever it might be, I think that that is New South Wales' current possible weakest link that they've got, I suppose. I think that Keon is an amazing forward, both middle and edge, and I think that he's not super far away from that New South Wales side with a injury or a poor performance by somebody for the Blues. So the case against would be worrying about origin. The other case against is just getting him in to your team. I think a lot of people are looking at selling Payne Haas to him. That would probably be my only route, would be Payne, Tino down up to front row forward, and then bring in Keon. It feels pretty good because it's a couple of hundred K. And I do think that Keon, if he keeps playing the minutes and playing in that middle role, he'll average 75 for the remainder of the time he has that role. That's me pushing an argument against. In saying that, I do currently have one of my trades to be Payne Haas to Keon Kolomatangi as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm going to be watching Origin very closely. And I agree, if New South Wales losing their damage through the middle, he's a big chance to come in to that team. I do still think, being mindful, he wasn't even named on the extended. There's another prop named in front of him in the extended. Stefano Utukumanu was actually picked and Keon wasn't. Terrell May, that's an interesting point. I mean, I think he's trying to do a bit of a reclamation project with New South Wales now. He came out and put it, I thought, a fairly like classy apology and took ownership of what he did. And he also mentioned he was going to have a call. He said he's never spoken to Laurie Daly and that he was actually going to give Laurie a call during the week. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of all that. But I do agree there's a huge origin risk there. I want to then, Tubes, just segue naturally to Payne Haas, because like you said, if people are going to be doing Keon, there's a big chance it's going to be via Payne. I, again, another one, speaking of criminal to back up Munster, I think it's criminal back up Payne Haas. Like, he's in doubt for Origin 1. He hasn't trained all week. I think he was going to have his first training session yesterday, I believe, was going to be the first training session for New South Wales. He can't play this weekend. Like, that would be madness to play him if he's in doubt for Origin to back him up when he's so important to their team. They then don't play 15. 16 he'll play if he backs up from Origin. He won't play 18, and then 19... Again, he might play if he backs up from Origin. Then round 20, they're on the bye again. Like, there is the possibility that he may, not definitely, but he might only play two of the next seven games and a maximum of probably four. I think he's a pretty good sell.
I think so too. Like, logically, that makes sense. Like, I think if you're going to be selling Haas, he's the least likely. I think there's two options for your premium sells this week, Origin impacted. One is Nathan Cleary and the other is Payne Haas. I think people could sell both. Cleary to Hughes, what we talked about, and Payne Haas to, say, a key on Kolomatangi. I think that you don't want to sell both of them. Like, I think that you've got to be thinking about how do you get that final team into it. And so I think for someone like yourself, where you've already sold Cleary, you've got to bring him back. I do think that it adds an element of risk to selling Haas. Makes logical sense for all the reasons that you just said, but then you've got to get him back for 21. And I know you could talk yourself into, oh, well, we've got May, we've got Tarponet, we've got Tino, we've got
Keon.
Keon, we've got, who am I missing there? Tarponet, did I say? AFB, etc. And that all makes sense. And I think that's what a lot of people are going to end up landing on. But Payne Haas is averaging, like, so well this year. And he's such, like, I think he's such a valuable person for your best 17 for the run home, that I think that you do want him back in your team. And that's the only pause that I've got. So a bit of a long-winded rant to say I'm on the fence, but that's the only thing that I'm considering is how do I get Haas back in to my team, and I'm worried I won't do it. Payne Haas at Grams, he's just put up averaging 93.5. He has to be in your best 17 for that run home.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're getting rid of him, you're planning to bring him back in. You'd be crazy not to. I do think the reason I like someone like Kolomatangi play is that I'm a big believer at this time of year, I never bring in guys. If I'm bringing them in, it's because they're a genuine cheapie who I think will make cash, or there's someone who I think, okay, if this guy stays in my team for the rest of the year because I run out of trades, am I happy with it? And Kolomatangi fits that second box for me. Like, I'm fine. Same thing with Jerome Hughes tubes. Like you mentioned, I'm trading at Cleary and maybe Payne Haas. Jerome Hughes is another guy that I would be comfortable carrying through my team for the rest of the year. Like, is it the most ideal scenario? No, but would I be comfortable with it? Yes. And that's why I'm always against these pods like a Paul Alamotti. Sorry to pick on Danny Boy, but like an Alamotti, because I just don't think they're the kind of guys, they're not genuine cheapies and you don't want to carry them in your team. Whereas Jerome Hughes, Keon Kolomatangi, those kind of guys, I'm very confident with that. But look, I think you made a pretty good case, Tubes, and I think that's probably enough on Kolomatangi, and we've covered off Payne Haas there as well. Let's get into a few of the other second row forwards. Ewan Aitken surprised me. He's being brought in by nearly 5% of the top 10% this week. Dual position player. What do you think, Tubes?
Yeah, I'm never, he's a meat and potatoes man. I'm never a meat and potatoes man. The fact that he's dual center wing, they've got a nice buy schedule, the same as what we just talked about with Keon. But yeah, he won't be coming into my side, and I'm about 80% confident he'll be coming into yours at some point.
No, I'm no chance of you and Aitken. I would be though, Tubes. You're playing to what I do like, but I've already got the guy I like in Bo Fermal. I'm a Bo Lever, and I'm going to try and hold him through the Origin period. I really like the idea of flipping around him and Dylan Lucas. So if people are looking at it from that play, being able to move the two around between the two positions, I don't mind it. Dylan Lucas, Tubes, we did touch on him earlier. He's been brought in by a few this week. I know that there's this chance of re-injury. I just don't care. If I didn't own him, I would be doing whatever I can to get him. He's the best second row forward potentially in Supercoach, and he's the best centre wing in Supercoach potentially as well. Do you see him the same as me?
Yeah, Yeah, I think you've got to work out a way to get him into your side. I don't know how it'd be a struggle if you didn't own him, but that's basically it. Like you just need him in your team.
All right, our last of the second row forwards is Eli Katoa. Tubes, a theory that you have that I really, really like, it's a Monday to Wednesday Tubes theory, this one, is that when guys have this one big score, it puts them on everyone's radars. But when they're just going about their business, people just seem to forget about them. You mentioned that with Greg Marju. Like, we all knew that he's going to get 50 on a bad week. And then he had this big score, and everyone's like, we've got to get in Greg Marju. Look what he can do. I put that to you about Eli Katoa. I think that the last 5 weeks or so, he hasn't been getting as much attacking stats. He's been kind of churning through. He's been carrying a bit of an injury. I think that if he comes out and gets a big score this week, let's say he goes 100, he's suddenly going to be one of the most purchased in players in Supercoach. And I think he's got that in him. I think he's being, I know he's already over 60% under the top 10%. I think it should be higher.
I agree. And it's interesting because we talked about Keon. I wonder how many of those 30% bringing him in don't own Eli Katoa at the moment
Great
already.
point.
At a very similar price range, they're playing the Titans. I just talked about Hughes being the dominant playmaker, and he plays on the right side with Eli. That's how he went off last year from an attacking point of view. I think if you're looking at someone like an ECAT, this is a great week to look at bringing him in.
Yeah, I think he's an underrated buyer.
The one we didn't even put on the run sheet, but I just was thinking about it when we were talking about Payne Haas and sort of tossing up selling Payne. What do you think about Tino? Like, is there a chance that Tino's a sell over this Origin period as well? There's the argument is that the Titans need him. He has to back up. And I think that that is probably true. I think that Queensland need him just as much with their pack. I think he has to step up and be the absolute dominant player in that pack for Queensland. I think he's going to need to play big minutes for them to be able to dominate New South Wales. I also think that there's the potential that the Titans are just so gone that at some point they look at potentially pulling up stumps and like, you know, Tino not playing as big a minutes as he has. I don't know. Like, I think that there's the option there that you could look at selling a Tino versus a Payne Haas.
I strongly disagree, Tubes. And I think a big part of it is because one thing you haven't considered there is they got Des Hasler fighting for his coaching job. Des Hasler's not going to start pulling up stumps if he thinks his job's on the line. If the Titans sack Des and they look at like trying to build for next year and give up on this year, I think it's a chance. But for as long as Des is in that coaching role, I think he's going to be trying to milk everything he can out of Tino to try and save his job and turn their season around. So I feel confident of him being a guy who should back up unless he pulls up pretty poor from Origin, would be my take on that. What do you think? Is that too
I
much
think it's
narrative
I think
based?
it's right. Nah, I think it's right. I'm just I guess I'm I sort of think I half convinced myself to hold on to Haas, and I'm already thinking of other options to sell this week. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's a
You do like to look, if everyone else is swerving one way, you do like to try and find another direction to go. It's your natural way. So I think that's coming into play a little bit too. All right, let's keep talking about the last couple of relevant front row forwards. The horse, Corey Horsburgh, even despite him not playing Origin, which to me was an absolute shock, and Raiders having really good buy coverage, he's still being sold by 5.7% of that top 10%. I mean, I know producer Gramsci's put down in the run sheet for us that his minutes have been bad, but he did have a sin bin on the weekend too. Like, I still feel confident that he's going to be playing in that 50 to 55 minutes. It's a really good number for this period. I don't think he's going to lose any money. I don't really see the point of selling him now.
Can't I don't think you sell him. Like you said, not a bad sort of buy schedule. I think you're basically holding him to 15, seeing if he gets picked for Origin 2, and then he's got that dual flexibility. So you look at moving him around. I mean, it'd be different if he was. I know it sounds weird, but if he had been going well and he was 700K, he'd be a bit more on my radar. But he's just
Yeah,
sort of
great.
you're not going to buy him, you're not going to sell him. You're just hoping for the best.
Last front row forward is Hamish Stewart, or what did you? Was it Hamish Macbeth you called him, Tubes, from some old TV
Yeah.
show that I've never heard
Yeah,
of
from
before?
Hamish Macbeth.
one of your mum's favourite shows. I've never heard of it. I don't think I'm going to be able to catch it on Netflix anytime soon. But he has been well discussed. I've seen a few people posting questions about him in the Unlimited League, the Ballers Unlimited League as well. He played 60 minutes in his last start. He's starting lock for the Dragons. His break-even's only 14. 60 minutes, I've got to say, that was slightly inflated probably because Dylan Egan got hurt in the fourth minute. What are your thoughts on Hamish?
I think Couchman's been a little bit injured as well the last few games. I think he's back this week. I think that Hamish is still not a relevant front row forward to bring in. We just went, like, literally we just named who you could look at having in that front row forward. I know he is dual, but I just don't think that he's someone that you're looking to bring in now at this stage. I don't know. To be honest, I don't sit there thinking about Hamish Macbeth that much. So it's hard. It's hard to answer.
Look, the only way I could see it would be if you're still one of these people, I almost use a meaner word, if you're one of these people holding Royce Hunt and you want to get rid of him, although even then saying that, you probably should just nuff him out. So I agree. I don't think I'll be looking at him, Tubes. Down to the final position of the week, one really relevant hooker to talk about. See, often the least relevant position of all. I mean, geez, they did 15 minutes on Cam McInnes a couple of episodes back, Tubes. I think we'll spend 15 minutes on this bloke. But Appy Corrissau, great boy. You actually flagged him. Did he? For a 70, though. So it's not even like he did too well. But, your man, Tubes, Appy Corrissau, I think he was I can't say your man, but you did have him as your little black book player a couple of weeks ago on the Sunday snap. You liked what you really saw from him against the Rabbitohs. Is he still an option?
Yeah, so the big one for him is, I'm going to not pronounce this, is it Talon De Silva? Talon De Silva's been on the bench all year. He's now, this is the second game in a row where he hasn't been named on the bench. So Appy played 80 minutes. He had 128, I think it was, in his last game where he played 80 minutes. So that's why he's negative. His break even is minus -8. Appy 80-minute hooker is a relevant Supercoach player. He's probably the second-best hooker in the game from a Supercoach perspective. Obviously, he's now been brushed from Origin with Reece Robson getting the nod. The Tigers have a pretty good buy schedule over that period, and he's easily fits that bill of what you said before, that someone you can bring in for the buy schedule that you could hold for the run home. If he ended up being your number one hooker, if for those that are still holding Sandon Smith and enough, that certainly wouldn't feel like the worst way to run home as someone that could take on a Harry Grant.
What about for Tom Starling owners, Tubes? He's very well owned and he's suspended this week. Would it be too sideways to go from Tom Starling to Appy, or do you see it as a good growth spot?
Bit of a weird one with Starling. I think I finally came around to him. He seemed to be playing that 80-minute role where he was when Paddy was coming on, he was going to lock. But then Ricky Roulette didn't do that again on the weekend and obviously got suspended. The thing with the Raiders is they do play round 18, so they cover that round 18 bye. So I think it's a little bit too sideways that you feel that you could hold Starling and you're still going to get a pretty good buy schedule, buy run out of him. And Starling will probably be a sell round 19 when they're on their next buy to someone else at that point.
I guess there might just be people feeling the pinch with numbers this week and Tom Starling's an extra annoying lot. There might be people who own Tommy Turbo, who they thought was going to play this week, and now he's ruled out. And now Tom Starling and all these guys potentially backing up or not backing up from Origin, there is that chance you could just feel a little bit with the pinch with numbers, and I don't think that would be the worst place to jump to. Like you said, Ricky Roulette is going to continue to being a problem, getting Ricky rolled. And I could also say, like, if Owen Paddy comes out this weekend as the big minutes man and kills it, I could see Ricky trying to find him even more minutes again. So I just think it's all up in the air. So I don't hate it if people are short on numbers. I think it's a pretty good play. Last positional analysis player, Tubes, Jazz Tavanga. We're just going to give him a bit of a quick mention. He's 465K, a break-even of only 7. He has gone back-to-back 80-minute games, and this week for the Seagulls. He's named at lock again. No Jake Trbojevic to be seen just yet. And they have two hookers in the squad. So he, you'd expect that he will spend absolutely no time at hooker. He might get 80 minutes as just a big workhorse lock. I mean, well done to Byers, which I believe does include producer Gramsy. Well done, Gramsy, on that pickup. I don't think you can look at him as an option, though.
I don't think so. I mean, I'd like to find out from someone like Physio what's happening with Gerbo. Like, he had that really bad concussion, so I don't know how many weeks he's going to be out for. They're a bit light on in the middle. They brought Matt Lodge back, and Sipley was suspended, wasn't he? So I think he might be back on the radar as coming back soon. So I just think there's enough there that, yeah, he could be a good option for this week, and for those that own should be happy. But I don't think there's too much areas for him dropping in minutes and then he becomes not relevant at all.
Yeah. All right. Well said. All right. Well, let's go now to our last couple of segments of the show. Tubes, I love if there was a ready to explode segment for us to get into like we do on the Sunday Snap, but we'll go with a little bit more vanilla on the Teamless Tuesday show. Captain's chat. Who are you looking at as your vice captaincy and captaincy option this week, Tubes?
Ooh, it's a good question. And one that I hadn't put enough thought into already.
I was about to say, I've got you one. Saying that's a good question, big delayment tactic.
Big delayment tactic. but I do, what I'm looking at is if Kalen Ponga does not back up, I'll be looking at Fletcher Sharp against the Dragons as a VC option. We saw what he can do last week. If Kalen Ponga does back up, then I'll be looking at putting the VC on Scott Drinkwater against the Tigers in Townsville, Saturday 5:30 game. He's looking for a big bounce back. And then I'll be looking to put in my captaincy. Sorry, I stuffed that up. If it's not Fletcher Sharp, I'll be VCing Ryan Pappenhausen against the Titans. I mixed up the order of the games, and then I'll be putting the C on Scott Drinkwater.
Yep. We are in complete alignment, Tubes. I'm definitely going to say Fletcher Sharp is named at fullback this week with Ponga dropping out. He will 100% be my vice captain. If that happens, I'll put the C on Pappy. I'll leave out Drinky altogether in that instance. Yep. I'd go first. It feels a bit weird doing it the first two games of the round, doesn't it? Because they are the first two games to go. But that would be my early play. The only thing I'd watch there is that there is meant to be a little bit of weather, a bit of rain around on the Gold Coast this weekend for that potential Ryan Pappenhausen matchup. So that is one to watch if that weather takes a turn. I know that Baller will probably post their weather analysis stats up as they usually do before the round, which are incredibly valuable when you're looking at those kind of decisions. So I'd look at that. But Tuesday, we've spoken about Ryan Pappenhausen before. Like, if it's a sunny daytime game, he's just unbelievable. Like, I think if it's a sunny day in the Gold Coast, you are insane not to have him as your VC or C if you're an owner. And then just playing a BE, because I agree, if Sharp's not the fullback, if he's not fullback, then I shift and go to the play you were saying about Drinky up against the Tigers coming off a week's rest. Tuesday, pods of the week. I mean, you kind of already had a bit of a good pod because you're bringing in Ezra Mams. We discussed him being your pod of the week, but we kept him on the main run sheet because you are bringing him in. You started pre-pod when we were planning. You said, I'm also bringing this bloke in. By the time we came to record, you weren't anymore. But who's this other guy?
Let's have a think about it. I still may. He's my boy from last year. He's looked good this year. I've sort of liked what I've been seeing. And that is Viliami Vailia from the North Queensland Cowboys. He currently has a break even of minus 24 after his last game. He had 112. He's playing the Tigers this week. I really like him as an option, getting some early ball. He's got amazing tackle breaks, offload, and he's got that attacking upside. He's 451K. But the other benefit of him is that Cowboys run. The Cowboys do not have another bye now until, what, round 27, I think, so the last game of the year. So he's going to play all the major bye rounds and mini bye rounds. in that time, they play the West Tigers this week. They play the Gold Coast Titans. They play the Dolphins. They play a depleted Roosters in Origin. I just think that he could go on a run. He could make 200K, and I don't mind him as a pod option.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, looking through his scoring history, he's gone 31, 15, 26, 36, 35, 26. Like, his base isn't consistently there. He's going to have some down weeks. They're all in 80-minute performances. None of those are injury affected. I don't like it at all. I think you're trying too hard to search for a cowboy, Tubes. And I said earlier that I think for me to bring in a guy at this time of year, they either need to be a genuine cheapie or a guy that I think I'd be comfortable keeping in my team for the year. And I don't think Viliami Velea fits either of those categories. But
you read out his scores and missed all of his high ones, but sure.
You also mentioned his high scores and didn't mention his low ones. I was trying to bring some balance to the conversation. So I'm just trying to say is that, like, he is a guy who can have some real down weeks in him, Velea. And I think that there's more of those low scores than there are big ones this year.
So you know what I'm looking forward to? The Sunday snap this week. After Velea goes 100 plus, it's going to be one for the ages.
Yeah, I hope it happens, but he won't be in your team, even if it does. So it's going to be just bragging for nothing, Tubes, because there's not a chance you bring him in this week. I really wanted my pot of the week to be Alex Johnston. Like, I almost had him in just for old time's sake. He was always such a great buy period player, but he's not that anymore, unfortunately, AJ. So I've gone with someone who is, I think, a genuine option, and it's Zach Labor, who is 390K. He's currently very lowly owned. Only 69 people own him in the top 10%. A few are bringing him in this week, and by a few, 42. So not very many at all. I think the big risk there is of Purdue shifting back to center. Labor is a pretty talented player. I like what I've seen of him. He's got pretty decent base. And again, we mentioned that Cowboys great buy coverage. I think at 60K cheaper than Velea, a younger, I think, maybe more talented player, I think he's the better player of those two. So I'm going with the other centre of the Cowboys, Tubes. What do you think of Labor?
Yeah, I don't mind him. Same reason I said for Velea, good run. Risk, obviously, of Purdue going back to centre. But that left edge for the Cowboys has been quite dynamic with Murray Tuolungi there and obviously Scotty Drinkwater and Dearden. They love going that way. So, yeah, I think they're both good options.
I think one of them is for sure. I agree. One of them is a good option, and the other one's name is Viliami Velea. Tubes, it's been good fun. How good? Sunday snap taking over the Tuesday show. I've really enjoyed getting on there with you. Thanks for everyone who watched live on YouTube. And just a reminder again to get onto baller.live. They're going to be launching even more things coming up really soon. Some pretty exciting developments, Tubes.
Yeah, I think plenty to come over the next few weeks. But, yeah, baller.live it's just a staple of what you need to be on each and every weekend. I think we'll be doing the projections power hour on Thursday as well, which is taking off on the socials. So, yeah, looking forward to the Origin game tomorrow night and then seeing how that unfolds for the Supercoach weekend ahead.
And just another reminder about big show coming on Thursday. Matt will be there, TBA, who's going to join him. But it's going to be a massive show post-Origin. We'll have a lot of information about these guys we spoke about during the shows, maybes or maybe nots. We should know a lot more information come Thursday when clubs start to put out some info. Tubes, you've been great joining you. Hopefully we can get the ratings will be big this week like they usually are for the Sunday snap. We've actually probably lifted this to be the A show for 1 week only. But you got anything else for us, mate?
You beauty.
It's high pitched this week.